The Truth News Network. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Well, you can. But why would you want to? Dan Newman.
I can tell you one reason why you wouldn't want to, and that's because we give you the truth that you've got to know about what's going on in Washington, D.C. today. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Truth News Network. Dan Newman here. Today, as promised, we're going to look closely at the past and present of the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, who has released a non-stop barrage of accusations against President Trump on many levels. His attacks have lasted for more than a year. In those attacks, he has accused President Trump of collusion, obstruction of justice, criminal violations of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, racism, sexism, misogyny, and for being just an all-round horrible person. Nadler has been joined by many of the Democrat Party. None more vocal than Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, who has, in addition to his echoes of Nadler's allegations of the president's, claimed nonstop for more than a year that he has uncontroverted proof already of Trump's multiple acts of obstruction of justice. We will complete today's story with the promised information hiding in plain sight about Representative Nadler. But let's begin by looking at all these allegations of Trump collusion with Russia in 2016. Collusion. Collusion is not a federal crime, except in the unique case of antitrust law, so we should all just stop using collusion as a shorthand for criminality. But that doesn't mean that the alleged cooperation between the Trump campaign and Russia is of no criminal interest. To the contrary, if true, the big word if, it may have violated any number of criminal prohibitions. For example, if Donald Trump Jr. sought dirt on Hillary Clinton from the Russians, he might be charged with conspiracy to violate the election laws of the U.S., which prohibit foreign nationals from contributing anything of value to an electoral campaign. The opposition dirt is at least plausibly a thing of value, and to the extent that the Trump campaign aided, abetted, or advised the Russians or any other hackers about what would be most useful to steal from the Democrats or how to best enhance the impact of their release, they may well have violated the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. The word collusion has been a terrible one to use in the Trump-Russia saga since it doesn't accurately describe either the criminal or counterintelligent aspects of what we know. On the criminal side, the word that would best describe an agreement between the Trump campaign and Russia to commit any number of crimes, say election fraud, would be conspiracy, something that the recent release of Donald Trump Jr.'s email chain might support. Collusion is the descriptive word the news media has settled on to cover many alleged potential illegal actions by the Trump campaign, which could range from aiding and abetting, that's 18 U.S.C. 2, to conspiracy per se, 18 U.S.C. 371, to conspiring to violate several potentially applicable laws like 18 U.S.C. 1030, fraud and related activity in connection with computers, 18 U.S.C. 1343, wire fraud, or 52 U.S.C. 3121. Contributions and donations by foreign nationals. Also, 18 U.S.C. 2381, for contrary to a widespread belief that there must be a declared war, the Justice Department, as recently as 2006, indicted for aid and comfort to our enemies, the form of collusion better known as treason. Collusion is a perfect word to cover such crimes, pejorative and inclusive. But in all of that, if and would, and possibly, and may, Adam Schiff of California, he knows Trump is guilty. 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 Period.
I got to ask you something that you said also to me on Sunday, is that you thought that at the time, former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, was too definitive when he said no evidence of collusion. At the time that he served through January, essentially January 20th of this year. What basis can you feel confident saying that that the director of national intelligence oversold something?
Well, look, I don't think it was deliberate on the director's part, but all I can tell you is, reviewing the evidence that I have, I don't think you can conclude that at all. Far from it.
But you admit that, it's all you have right now is a circumstantial case.
Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So, again, I think...
So you have seen direct evidence of collusion?
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial and is very much worthy of investigation. So that is what we ought to do. Now, again, I think we have been dealt a serious body blow to the credibility of our ability to get answers by today's events. And to me, it underscores the importance of having an independent commission look at this as a supplement to anything the Congress does.
The Russians offered dirt on Hillary in writing and sent it to Donald Trump Jr., Schiff stated. And Don Jr.'s response was in writing and said, "As for your offer of foreign illegal help, I would love it." He accepted the offer, says Schiff, noting that Team Trump later lied about the meeting and that represented the personification of collusion. Schiff added that Mueller had a different question, whether he could prove the crime of conspiracy. "And as you know," he said, "well before the Mueller report, I was pointing out to the public there was a difference between what we understand as collusion and whether you can prove all the elements of crime," he said. Schiff didn't stop there. Even after the Mueller report and special counsel Mueller testified before both the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, and even in answering continual committee questions from Democrats on the alleged Trump crimes and Mueller's testimony that did not formally or informally indict Trump, Schiff doubled down on his knowledge of Trump wrongdoing. Before we summarize and give you the information we have covered on Nadler, it's important to emphasize to you the following. Under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, any person who levies war against the U.S. or adheres to its enemies by giving them aid and comfort has committed treason within the meaning of the Constitution. The term aid and comfort refers to any act that manifests a betrayal of allegiance to the U.S., such as furnishing enemies with arms, troops, transportation, shelter, or classified information. If a subversive act has any tendency to weaken the power of the U.S. to attack or resist its enemies, aid and comfort have been given. You remember that section there. While listening to this short interview that Schiff believed was with Russian officials, but actually, the two gentlemen speaking to Adam Schiff in this recording were on-air radio announcers in the U.S. tricking Schiff. But listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. Participating in this interview, Schiff actually committed the exact same acts that he has continually accused Donald Trump Jr. of committing and calling them obstruction of justice when Donald Trump Jr. set up, received, and had the meeting with those Russians in Trump Tower. But Schiff doesn't think his doing so in this radio interview is the same thing. Listen to this, and you decide.
Hi, all right. I'm going to put Mr. Schiff on the phone, and then I guess are you going to transfer him to Mr. Parubi?
Yes, of course.
Great, thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Schiff. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
I know that you work for investigation regarding Trump and Russian government.
Yes.
We know some important information about that.
And that is documented as well in materials you want to provide to us?
Yes. Could I explain you where we are?
Yes, of course. But, you know, again, I would just caution that our Russian friends may be listening to the conversation, so I wouldn't share anything over the phone that you don't want them to hear.
No, I don't think that it will impact on our investigation.
Yes. Well, please, go ahead then.
In November 2013, Mr. Trump visited Moscow. He visited a competition in Miss Universe, and there he met with Russian journalist and celebrity Ksenia Sobchak.
I'm sorry, can you explain that again? While he was in Moscow in November 2013, he met with a journalist and
well, she's poor journalist, but anyway, she became famous because of Putin is her godfather.
Okay, Putin is a godfather. Okay.
She also known as a person who provide girls for escort for oligarchs, and she met with Trump and she brought him one our Russian girl, celebrity Olga Buzova, who also known as a person with a strange reputation.
Olga, and how do you spell her name?
Olga Buzova.
Buzova. So
yes.
Olga Buzova is a friend of the reporter Sovchek?
Yes, she's a friend of a reporter and I think the special agent of Russian Secret Service, Ksenia Sobchak.
That Sobchak is or Olga is?
No, Sobchak is Ksenia.
Okay, and so Buzova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe
yes.
pageant.
Absolutely, and she got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Okay, and what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course. When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buzova where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely. And we also know who was a mediator between Trump and Russian government, who met with ex-advisor of Trump, Mr. Flynn. It was the Russian singer, very famous singer, Arkady Ukupnik, who met with Mr. Flynn on Brighton Beach in Brooklyn in a special Russian cafe, Langeron.
What's the name of the cafe?
Langeron.
Langeron?
Yes, it's on the Brighton Beach.
Okay. And
it's a special, it's a Russian district in Brooklyn.
And do you know what was discussed?
They discussed many things, but the most interesting thing is they used a special password before their meetings. When they met each other, they said, "Weather is good on Deribasovskaya."
Weather
it rains.
Is good.
Yeah.
In where?
Weather is good on Deribasovskaya. There is a name of a street in Odessa.
Did you hear?
Yes, I did. So it's a street in Odessa.
Yes.
And the code word is weather is good on Deribasta?
Deribasovskaya.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll have my staff follow up to get spellings and more details on
this. Yes.
And the second part of their password was it rains again on Brighton Beach.
It rains again on Brighton Beach.
Yes.
On that meeting, Ukupnik told Flynn that all those compromising materials will never be released if Trump will cancel all Russian sanctions.
Okay. Well, obviously, we would welcome a chance to get copies of those recordings. So we will try to work with the FBI to figure out, along with your staff, how we can obtain copies of those.
Of course, we will provide you all our copies of all our materials, but I also would like to let you know that Sobchak and Buzova will pretty soon visit our country, and we could arrest them and deliver them to your embassy, and we also could extradite them to your country, and you can put them to your special jail, Guantanamo.
Well, I'll be in touch with the FBI about this, and we'll make arrangements with your staff. I think it probably would be best to provide these materials to both our committee and to the FBI. And so we'll make arrangements between my staff and yours on how to facilitate that. And we'll also obviously let the FBI know about Buseva and Sovchak's planned travel to Ukraine.
I also advise you to check all Sobchak's visits in the U.S. because she was in the U.S. very often, and just to check what she did there actually. And I also would like to look at Russian cafe on Brighton Beach, Langeron, and especially on their head of Russian mafia, Uncle Misha.
Uncle Misha? And
yes.
He's in Brighton Beach.
Yes, he's the head of Russian mafia, and he's located on that restaurant on Brighton Beach.
Okay.
I just want to advise you just to look at them, please.
Alrighty. Good. This is very helpful. I appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to add today?
Well, I hope that my information will be useful for you and your committee, and I also would like to advise you, when you or your colleagues will meet Mr. Trump, I advise you to tell him first part of the password on the weather is good on Deribasovskaya, and look how his face will change the color.
And so those passwords were used with Mr. Trump?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We will be back in touch with you through our staff to make arrangements to obtain these materials for our committee and for the FBI. And I appreciate your reaching out to us.
Well, let's be in touch, and I will wait for your response from FBI.
Excellent. I'll have them follow up as soon as possible. And I thank you again.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
If it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable. That's exactly what Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler are accusing the Trump campaign of being guilty of. Not because they got anything from the Russians, but the very fact that they agreed to meet for the express documented purpose of getting information from Russians about the Clinton campaign. Donald Trump is guilty in their minds. That's the uncontroverted evidence that they have that proves that Trump violated all kinds of campaign laws. Yet, Adam Schiff just did the exact same thing. You heard it. Now let's switch over to Gerald Nadler. He has never seen a camera he doesn't like, a microphone that he did not know was specifically for him, never shunned participating in any interview to bash the president. But Nadler forgets about the documentation of everything official, committed or said, by members of the federal government, including in the congressional record. The same man once showed clear favoritism for President Clinton, an admitted perjurer. He is now hell-bent on continuing that witch hunt against the president, despite the fact that Mr. Trump has been cleared by the special counsel. Will the hypocrisy never end with Gerald Nadler? In a recent New York Times opinion piece, Nadler made veiled threats, innuendos, and salacious accusations against President Trump that have since been disproven. Quote, when the full scope of the president's misconduct has been revealed, when his lies are debunked, and his abuses have been laid bare, I believe that members of Congress on both sides of the aisle will draft legislation to curb the worst of his offenses, Nadler wrote. He continued, put another way, if President Trump's behavior wasn't criminal, then perhaps it should have been. But when the shoe was on the other foot, and Clinton had actually committed a crime, felony, Nadler did his best to cover for him. Now that the fake collusion allegations against Mr. Trump have been thoroughly debunked and rejected by the special counsel, Nadler's looking for crimes that should have been. Nadler was a young congressman during the Clinton White House years. He was there during the impeachment proceedings against President Clinton. He voraciously stood with Mr. Clinton, defending him against impeachment and blasting Republicans for taking any actions. What justification did the junior New York congressman give for his insistence to not impeach Mr. Clinton? the exact same things he himself is using in his current demands to impeach this president. The same thing. Don't take our word for it. Let's go to the official record. Representative Nadler's actual speech before Congress. It was in December of 1998. Nadler's exact speech. Now, we're taking bullet points out of the speech. What we're about to say in its entirety or sentences from Nadler's December 18, 1998 speech. It starts here, quote, "The effect of impeachment is to overturn the popular will of the voters. We must not overturn an election and remove a president from office except to defend our system of government or our constitutional liberties against a dire threat. And we must not do so without an overwhelming consensus of the American people. There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major parties and opposed by another. Such an impeachment will produce divisiveness and bitterness in our politics for years to come and will call into question the very legitimacy of our political institutions. Some members of the House may think the people have chosen badly." That's exactly what they think now. "But it is the people's choice, and we must respect it, absent a threat to our democracy that would justify overturning the repeated expression of their will at the ballot box. Members of Congress have no right to arrogate to themselves the power to nullify an election absent the compelling case." And he went on, "This House is not a grand jury. To impeach the president would subject the country to the trauma of a trial in the Senate. It would paralyze the government for many months while the problems of Social Security, Medicare, a deteriorating world economy, and all our foreign concerns fester without proper attention. We cannot simply punt the duty to judge the facts to the Senate if we find mere probable cause that an impeachable offense may have been committed. To do so would be a derogation of our constitutional duty. The proponents of impeachment have provided no direct evidence of impeachable offenses. Is the president above the law? Certainly not. He is subject to the criminal law, to indictment and prosecution when he leaves office, like any other citizen, whether or not he is impeached. And if the Republican leadership allows a vote, he would likely be the third president in U.S. history and the first since 1848 to be censured by the Congress. But impeachment is intended as a remedy to protect the nation, not as a punishment for a president." He finished with this: "The case is not there. There is far from sufficient evidence to support the allegations, and the allegations, even if proven, do not rise to the level of impeachable offenses. We should not dignify these articles of impeachment by sending them to the Senate. To do so would be an affront to the Constitution and would consign this House to the condemnation of history for generations to come. The American people are watching, and they will not forget. You may have the votes, you may have the muscle, but you lack the legitimacy of a national consensus and the Constitution. This partisan coup d'etat will go down in the history of the nation in infamy." Wow. What is most amazing to me and many other conservatives is that these Democrats who control the House believe they can lie and lie, and lie again, and then lie some more, can misrepresent acts committed by others they label as illegal. They're illegal when they're done by someone else, but they're not illegal. They're not illegal when Democrats do the same thing. It's unbelievable. What else? They categorically are doing their very best to remove a president that was duly and legally elected by the people of the United States. This is an egregious moment in American history. If allowed to fulfill this travesty, it will destroy our election system, our trust in government, and send the nation back to the political environment in which it was first birthed, 250 years behind where we are today. Do you know what's saddest, though? They're doing this with the deference, if not full support, of millions of Democrats who refuse to ferret out the truth for themselves. They're just listening to those in Washington, D.C. And it goes like this: if we speak louder, if we scream louder, maybe everybody will believe we're right. And these members of Congress are lying to their followers with no consideration for the rule of law, the Constitution, the will of the American voters, all the while trampling on the truth. Gerald Nadler must be removed from the chairmanship of the House Judiciary Committee. Adam Schiff must be removed from the chairmanship of the House Intelligence Committee. And Americans who voted constitutionally and elected Donald Trump president of the United States must have their will rule over a group of tyrants who have been for 2.5 years attempting what is literally a coup to overthrow the presidency put in place not by members of Congress, but by millions and millions, tens of millions of voters who those in Congress work for. Wake up, America, or get ready for real mob rule. If the Democrats succeed in impeaching Donald Trump, that's where America is headed. That's a wrap on today's story. Wow. It's getting deep, folks. We're right there with you, though. We're digging out all the truth out of all the noise, all the mob stuff they're spitting and throwing out that are untrue every day, trying to convince Americans they're telling the truth, and they're not. Don't fall for it. Thanks for being here today. We'll be back many times during the next couple of weeks with more meat. There's still a whole lot of meat on these bones, folks, and we've got it for you every day at truthnewsnetwork.org. Have a great one. So long, everybody.
Read all about it. Hear the truth. TNN.
The Truth News Network.